remain the same. If you didn't go to that track, obviously you won't fill that in. But it's very helpful for us if you fill out the evaluation forms and any comments, any suggestions you have about classes we could offer next year. Those are appreciated. All right, our first topic this morning, Rules of the Road. Lisa Mayo is presenting for us. She is a client services coordinator with the law firm of McCrary, Valeska, Bragg, and Allen. And she is a level 2 certified clerk. She is also, which she earned that rank or achieved that level when she was working for the city of Roanoke as court administrator. She served on the TCCA board as director at large and on the education committee. I met Lisa this year at South Padre, my first South Padre conference. And Jameson and I showed up for the conference, and we were the only ones there. The rest of the TMCEC staff and the faculty that was due to teach within the hour were stranded at the airport in Houston. And Lisa was down there on vacation, and she had taught for us in the past. And I just yanked her off the beach, and she came in and taught a four-hour class for me. It was wonderful. So I was thrilled to meet Lisa and thrilled to have her here today. Please welcome her.
Okay. Can everyone hear me? No. Am I doing something wrong? It is working. Okay. I am filling in for Melissa Pace. She has painstakingly made this great PowerPoint for us. So I'm not Melissa. Wouldn't mind being, though. She's really cute and pretty red hair. Some of y'all might have met her before. She teaches a lot of different classes. If you can't hear me, please let me know, and I'll start using my booming voice like I normally do, but I've not ever used one of these, so I'm trying not to sound like a five-year-old through it. Also, it's a very informative class, but it is somewhat boring, so if anyone wants to chime in, there's always a great wealth of knowledge when we get together. Some of us might not know a question or an answer to the question, and some might, so please speak up if you can help a friend out or a coworker or another court clerk or administrator. Is the majority of you from this area? Like San Angelo, I know I've met a lot of San Angelo clerks. Any Odessa clerks? Well, it is a little bit hotter up here. I don't know why, but it just seems it. Doesn't it seem it? Oh, the humidity is horrible down that way, isn't it? Well, we're going to get started. Please, like I said, let me know if you can't hear me or if I'm standing in your way. We need to know three W's when it comes to rules of the road. You should have in the back of your book the actual chart for rules of the road. And it's, let's see, right there, no. Plus you'll have your dismissal form in here too that you can reference. There it is. It is on page 28 or 27, 27, 28. Very useful tool. Anytime, all the charts that TMCC provides for us is a great tool that we should laminate and stick somewhere close. We need to know where Subtitle C is, Rules of the Road. Why do we care about Subtitle C, Rules of the Road? That's another W for you. And what is in Subtitle C, Rules of the Road? Subtitle C is in our transportation code. Title VII vehicles and traffic is what we use the most. Subtitle C, rules of the road. We are going to somewhat break down the transportation code. Did anyone bring their, not that we love carrying this big book around. It's interesting, though, in rules of the road, sometimes it's so much easier to pick up the phone, and we used to have the Ask Margaret line, but you still can call TMCEC. But if you learn your book, you've got all the answers right here. And the charts just make it one step easier than trying to dig through the book and find out what you need. It's divided into titles. Then each title is divided into subtitles. The subtitles are broken down into chapters, subchapters, and sections. Primarily two titles within the Transportation Code contain information about traffic offenses. Title I, or the general provisions, containing information about the purpose and construction of the Transportation Code. And Title VII, Vehicles and Traffic, contains most traffic laws, and it's divided into 10 subtitles, A to J. Anyone know the answer to this question? Why is Subtitle C so important to us? I'm sorry. Hang on just a second. I'll get to you. What was your question?
All of the traffic.
Or your answer?
All the traffic offenses are in Subtitle C.
All the traffic offenses are in Subtitle C. We are a Class C court. This is what we deal with in the majority. Subtitle C, also known as Rules of the Road, is by far the most often used by municipal courts. So you both were right. I don't have any chocolate, though. Divided into 14 chapters, 541 through 600. And this, I searched through this book on the plane. I didn't realize that chapter 554 to 599 don't contain any laws at this time. I guess they're, you know, getting ready to pop about 30 more in there at us, huh? What's in the Subtitle C, Rules of the Road? Yeah. What are some of the violations in Subtitle C? You said speeding? Anybody else? Now, Melissa told me, take a couple balls and throw it at people and make them answer when you peg them in the head with it. I'm like, I can't do that. But now I'm wondering. Kathy? Both Kathy's here? No driver's license? What are some violations that are not in Subtitle C? I better not walk back that far. I can't read it back there.
Insurance.
Good one. Anything else?
Registration.
Driver's license. I think that one is in. Did you find your chart back there?
Oh, yeah.
Now, don't make that stop you from answering out.
Okay.
Why is it important to know which subtitle the violation is found in? Can you say that again? So.
Okay. That's not, if it's not in Subtitle C, there's specific court costs that cannot be applied.
Perfect. Did everyone hear what she said? No? Well, I'm not going to, you know, lean in like that, but...
Oh, I got a big voice.
Yeah. Speak out then.
Yesterday, the reason you need to know whether or not a specific charge is in Subtitle C, and this is something I learned in court cost last night in Rhonda Coon's group, is that you need to know whether or not a specific charge is in subtitle, is a Class C or a Subtitle C, is to know which court costs truly apply to that charge so that you're not charging the wrong court cost. And I've got to go home and fix it, but I've been charging way too much on insurance because insurance is not a Subtitle C. So I've got to go home and I've got to review everything and fix it this next 2 weeks, in the next week, before anything else happens. And I've got lots of charges out there, but that's the reason I figured out, ooh.
Yes, very important, very important. Like the $30 state traffic fee. There's one other one that would not belong on there, and let's see. We'll get to that in a minute. I want to say the TC code. Can y'all think of the fee that doesn't go on insurance? How are you? Anybody? No? We'll get to it. Chapter 541 contains definitions useful when applying each law. For example, how would you define daytime? And it's actually in your book.
30 minutes before sunrise and 30 minutes after sunset.
Yep, perfect. Did everyone hear that? 30 minutes before and 30 minutes after. If y'all want me to stand still, I will. If I'm making anyone motion sickness. Chapter 541, subchapter E, section 541. Point 401, subsection 1, is the definition to be applied. Daytime is the period beginning 1/2 hour before sunrise and ending 1/2 hour after sunset. 542 in general provisions, it contains the general penalty for Subtitle C offenses. Section 542. 0.401 provides that a misdemeanor for which no other penalty is provided in Subtitle C is punishable by $1 to $200. And this is where the court costs come into play. This is something we can check ourselves. Section 542.403 authorizes the collection of the, there it is, I'm sorry, the $3 TFC fee, or the traffic fund, on convictions under Subtitle C. So you would want to check that one as well. Would you collect the $3 TFC fee on a no insurance violation? No. So we know the state traffic fee and the traffic fund we don't want to do. Section 542.405 and 542.406 address the civil enforcement of red light cameras. How many of you guys are using those in your cities? You're kidding me. You don't have a red light in your city? You have a blinking yellow light, flashing? How funny. One of those blink and you miss it cities then. Only. But you do have an interstate though, that's a good thing. You can get a little money that way. I am shocked that cities like San Angelo, are there any San Angelo people? Y'all don't have them? Y'all have drive-through windows and you don't have a red light camera. How about Odessa? None? Do we have any big cities? You're not a big city, are you? No? No big cities? Well, you're the guys that do everything then. You in the small cities, you wear every kind of hat. You got to enter the tickets, you got to do. I don't want to get on that soapbox. You're the judge too? How come you're not blurting out some good answers then? We need to set this one in stone because I've never heard a judge say that. I have never. Oh my gosh, this is a day in history. Believe me. Okay, 543, arrest and prosecution of violations. Maybe I should put my glasses on. Now, y'all have all of this. That's how some of y'all are answering, isn't it? Y'all already know before I read it. You're supposed to be in the chart, not in the answers. Section 543.001 provides specific authority for a peace officer to arrest a person committing a violation under Subtitle C and take them before a magistrate. That was one of the hardest things that I had to figure out, that they're actually under arrest when they get pulled over, technically. They're contained, yeah. Section 543.003, very important, because it allows the officer to release a person arrested for Subtitle C violation to issue a citation or a written notice to appear instead of taking before a magistrate. That's why it's important that they get them to sign it, and some will just take them on in if they don't. Some won't, though. That's a... It's because they don't have anything else to do in your city, do they?
No.
I'm joking. I'm joking. Exceptions to when an officer can arrest for Subtitle C violations are in Section 543.004, Notice to Appear Required. What are the exceptions? It's in your book. Come on. Speeding in open container. In Section 543.004, subsection... Okay, y'all help me out with this. A and 1. Subsection and what's the 1? I'm glad I'm not the only one that doesn't. I honestly... And it's in the first of the book. It tells us how it's all divided up. You did say speeding in an open container, which is in the penal code, the open container, I believe, 49.03, as long as the person makes a written promise to appear. Okay, section 543.006 specifies that the time specified in the notice to appear must be at least 10 days after the date of arrest to give them a little bit of time to come take care of it. Section 543.009, violate promise to appear. Does everyone understand the differences on that and a failure to appear? I've heard about that.
That's where the city of Houston tried to file a failure to appear, which is more of a jail bonding kind instead of a violate promise to appear.
Do you... I'm assuming y'all did not hear what she just said. Can y'all back there hear what she just said? No? Do you mind saying it again? You mind standing up? I'm sorry.
Police Officer Garcia, who sued the city of Houston because they filed a failure to appear, which is more of a bonding warrant than a violate promise to appear, which is a traffic warrant. And so anything that contains the rules of the road, traffic offenses, you can only file a violate promise to appear if they don't come in within the time period you give them.
not a failure to appear.
Did everyone hear that? Okay. And I don't know about you guys, but, and I'm going to tell on myself because I don't work there anymore. In Roanoke, and we used ENCODE, and it was just, even the judge was saying, failure to appear, failure to appear. I never even realized how wrong we were doing, you know, what we were doing wrong until after I left, which then what good does it do me there at Roanoke, but she'll figure it out, I'm sure. But the judge even was doing failure to appears. And I had even asked several surrounding cities how they did it. A lot of courts just do failure to appear. Now, my prosecutor would write it on the file, but didn't mean I entered it in that way when when he left. Yes, I wasn't, you know, giving anybody any special treatment. No. Section 543.010, specification of speeding charge. Section 543.201, 203, and 206 are all important sections dealing with how and when convictions should be reported to DPS. This is really, to me, a very important one as well, because they're not. And we need to use that handy-dandy book over there, as much as we hate to pick it up, and read these sections and make sure we're doing those right. Yeah, that's Margaret's famous words. She gets so mad at software companies for not. Because, you know, they don't go by the law. They go by what's easiest and more efficient when they make their programs for us. Which is nice for us, but it's not always the correct way. Okay, as the clerk of the court, we must submit the conviction not later than the 30th day after the date of the conviction. Does everybody do that? No? This chapter is the first chapter in Subtitle C to include offenses commonly known as moving violations. Chapter 544, traffic signs, signals, and markings. Section 544.004, or 004, I should say, compliance with traffic control device, which no one in here has those red light cameras, which just shocks me. But Section 544.007, subsection D, disobeying a red light. And then the next one down, .010, is disobeying a stop or a yield sign. You have lots of stop signs?
Lots of yield signs because of the interstate.
Service roads?
The service road on and off ramps. Lots of yield signs. They write a lot of stop sign tickets. Our community is real bad about what we call a California slab.
Yeah, we have one.
Your community, yeah, complains about the California slide is what she's saying. Do y'all have that?
Stop sign, you look, and you go on. You never stop, you just roll up too.
Well, sometimes our stop sign seems too far back, and you got to roll up so you can see.
We have a stop sign that's too far back, but the white line is up past the stop sign.
Does anyone else deal with that, where their stop signs... People come in and want to say, well, I stopped for 3 seconds. Isn't that the law? I'm like, I don't think that's in the book. You can stop for 3 seconds, and then I've had lots of people talk about that, but I didn't know it was called a California slide. So in California, they're allowed to slide through their stop signs? That's the way you're that small city of yours, they have so many stop signs and no red lights, they gotta make up some things.
That's right.
Oh, with your officers. Chicken scratch?
Yeah, chicken scratch is yes. A better name for it. It was so blurred, slurred, till we called it even. And you had to translate because, and people would be entering tickets and they'd come to you and says, you're a better translator than I am. And you literally read around it in between the lines to figure out what he was trying to write on the ticket.
Anybody else have that problem? Or do we all have ticket writers? You have a, what did you call it, Ely?
Elik.
That's alien, Evan.
Is it alien?
That's his last name. So we do have several officers that think they're doctors, I would say. They got to have that special chicken scratch. Do y'all, a lot of you have the ticket writers now? Yes? No? Still hand entering, huh? Chapter 545, Operation and Movement of Vehicles. This chapter contains most of the traffic offenses. It's where you would be the majority of the time, I would think. Speed restrictions, turning violations, lane usage, right-of-ways, rules. Also has the parking regulations contained within sections 545.301 to 545.303. 545.412, child passenger safety seat systems offense. Are y'all excited about that change? And then the change really doesn't happen until 2010, I believe. They only get warnings. If I read it right, I could be wrong. January 2010, is that what you said? Yeah? I also heard a new court cost coming on that they might as well just set a dollar. Was it 50 cents? 15 cents. Or they have a really skinny mini 8-year-old that needs to be in a seat still. I mean, the things that, you know. Well, that, it all goes to them anyway, pretty much. Yeah. Younger than 5 years of age, like we said, this is changing this year, or probably January 2010, but they can start giving warnings and getting the public aware. But right now, it is still 5 years of age and less than 36 inches in height. I don't know of a police officer that carries a ruler or a tape measure with them, but you live in the redneck area?
Yeah.
Really?
Yes.
Because you got a seat belt violation, or not a seat belt, but a safety seat.
Right, he was saying that his child was above the height that the officer said it was. So
was he ultimately dismissed? Huh? Was he ultimately dismissed?
Yes. Well, he didn't have a lot of choice.
Yeah. That is the extent they'll go to, yes. Okay, we cannot have a fine less than $100 or more than $200. 545.412, child passenger safety seat systems offense, does not apply to a person operating a vehicle transporting passengers for hire. So like a bus, has it changed? So they're going to put seat belts on the school buses now?
Well, any, yeah, I didn't bring my books, but there's a
That's coming up too. It's coming up. It hasn't passed?
No.
Oh. A person transporting a child in a vehicle in which all seating positions equipped with child passenger safety seat systems or safety belts are occupied. What does that mean? If you fit six kids in the back seat, it's okay for two of them not to be belted? Is that how y'all read that?
Yeah.
That's an offense, or a defense. Here's some of the defenses to seatbelt or safety seats. Section 545.412(1), defense to 545.412. It is a defense to prosecution that the defendant provides to the court evidence satisfactory to the court that the defendant possesses an appropriate child passenger safety seat system for each child. It was in the trunk. I just didn't feel like getting it out, putting the kid in it. 545.412, child passenger safety seat systems offense. Section 545.412, subsection H, the municipality shall send to the comptroller an amount equal to 50% of the fines collected. It's changing to... What's new? You know, what's new? Defendant can take a specialized driving safety course approved by the Texas Education Agency that includes 4 hours of instruction on the use of a child passenger safety seat, which is 545.412 subsection G. I think a lot of that video also, this young lady said it just amazes her that they can have a class for 4 hours length of time on how to buckle your seatbelt or your child safety seat in. I think a lot of the class, too, shows what happens if they're not. They have, yes, I believe. Not that I've had to attend one, I promise. But I have heard. Now we're moving to point 413, subsection A, safety belts, the offense. Person commits an offense if the person is at least 15 years of age, is riding in the front seat of a passenger vehicle while it is being operated, is occupying a seat that is equipped with a safety belt, and is not secured by a safety belt. Fine of less than $25 or more than $50. Also, a person commits an offense if the person operates a passenger vehicle that is equipped with safety belts and allows a child younger than 17 years of age to ride in the vehicle without requiring the child to be secured by a safety belt if they are in a seat equipped with a safety belt. Fine of not less than $100 or more than $200, and shall send 50% of the fines collected to the comptroller at the end of the municipality's fiscal year. The defendant can take the specializing driving safety course as well. Okay, safety belts. More than likely, look in the back of your books just to see. You might, you know, if there's a safety belt or the chart for the. It is in the back. Page. And on 29? It's the same thing. Well, that's good. Shouldn't have a hard time finding it then. If a person, age 15, is driving without wearing a seatbelt, and there is a front passenger, age 16, who is also not wearing a seatbelt, who gets the ticket? Both of them. Can a ticket be issued for a person age 17 not wearing a seatbelt in the back seat? No. Is that on your chart? Can a ticket be issued for a person age 13 not wearing a seatbelt in the back seat? Yes. Who would get the ticket, though? The driver. Now, I can't even talk. Defenses to prosecution under Section 545.413. Possession of a written statement from a licensed physician. Sometimes you have someone that's just had surgery, and their doctor's giving them just a small amount of time. I don't think they should be in the car. Presenting to the court a written statement from a licensed physician not later than the 10th day after the date of the offense, however. So that's one you could set before the judge and say they didn't bring this in until the 20th day. Person is employed by U.S. Postal Service and performs a duty for that agency that requires servicing postal boxes. There's pretty much no way that they can put their seatbelt on, take it off, lean over, put the mail in the mailbox, so it's understandable. And they're only going 20 miles an hour usually. Person is delivering newspapers from a vehicle. Person is employed by a utility company and is engaged in reading meters. This one was a big one in Roanoke. Citizens would come up, well, your workers don't have their seatbelts on. They're jumping in and out of the truck reading the meter.
Our secretary makes us wear theirs.
Well, ours do have to because of the insurance liability.
Well,
based on it, when they're reading meters, when they're physically reading meters.
And we have one side of town they walk.
Yes, the citizens get angry.
What day did you see this? Well, normally it's metering days, which is the 21st through the 25th.
Well, now you can actually tell your city and your citizens. It's in the statutes. You know, the state allows.
The state says you don't have to.
Yeah. People don't like hearing that, though, do they? I remember one time the... one of our police officers, female, stopped one of our public works gentlemen that was driving the bulldozer down the road for speeding. And I said, are you sure you want to submit this ticket? Because how can they speed in that thing? You know, it goes, what, 30 miles per hour at the most? He wasn't even on a hill. That was the craziest ticket I'd seen, I had to enter it in. She wrote it, but she got joked, teased very, very much for that one. Also, if a person is operating a registered farm vehicle. Now, what would that mean I can't even think of a hillbilly's name right now, but... Farmer Joe, Farmer Brown, whatever, is driving down the middle of Main Street without a seatbelt on. Do you think that applies to him? No, he's in his farm truck, his farm vehicle.
Are we talking about who
What they technically mean, and you know, the statutes don't tell you what you can't do. They only tell you what you can do. However, I don't think they mean if he's driving down Main Street in his farm truck that he's above the law in that respect. Now, if he's in his farm truck hauling hay from one field to another, then that's what they mean. But it could be interpreted another way. But remember, the statutes don't tell you what you can't do. Chapter 546, Operation of Authorized Emergency Vehicles. This chapter references when emergency vehicles may speed or disregard traffic regulations. Chapter 541 would be helpful in defining authorized emergency vehicles, which are your police, ambulances, even your fire trucks, even your, what are the ambulances called that aren't by the city? They're a private sector. First responder. Just that little light.
They have lights and stuff on theirs. Is that considered an emergency vehicle when they've been called to a fire?
I would think so, because just because we're out there.
Yeah.
Just because we're out in a rural area with the volunteer men, we sure want them there.
Yeah.
We sure wouldn't like it, though, if they're just wanting to go through the light around us.
Yeah.
I've had that happen, too. Yeah. I thought about opening my door and hitting them with it, but it might have made me feel better at the time till I had to pay for it. Chapter 547, vehicle equipment. Now, this is in your compliance dismissals and a good chart to reference. Section 547.004. provides that a person commits an offense if the person operates or, as the owner, permits another to operate a vehicle that is unsafe or fails to comply with the regulations under Chapter 547. The section also says the court may dismiss a charge under Chapter 547 if the defendant corrects the violation before the defendant's first court appearance and pays an administrative fee not to exceed $10. Anybody think one offhand that you get dismissed? The what? This is referring more to like their chains, their safety chains, tail lights, or the little light that lights up your license plate. You're not speaking much. It's okay. It's all right if you want to be quiet. I'm not gonna pick it. Tinted windows is a good one. Do your officers have the little things that gauge the percentage of the tinted, how dark they are, and also applies to that little strip on the windshield up front? I won't talk loud. The kids putting all the funky lights, neon colors on their autos. I think they've actually outlawed that now, right? I mean, it's not legal at all. So I don't know that it would be a dismissal at this point. What do y'all think? Judge? You are really an honest judge. I mean, have y'all ever met an honest judge like this? Goodness. I'd rather have you in my court. Doesn't mind saying she didn't know at all? and that her mind is, you know.
Middle of a draw. Oh, my mind wouldn't. No.
Well, my question was, do you think that if it is not even a legal thing that they have on their auto, would it be a dismissible? The neon lights on the underneath of the car, or?
And it's not stated in the law that it's illegal?
I believe they banned.
They did ban it. Yeah.
Uh-huh. They haven't banned tinted windows. They just,
no.
They've, right. But the lights, do you think that would even apply to this if it's not even legal in the first place to have it on there? It'd be a dismissible charge is what I'm saying? It was removed.
It was removed. I have to have the prosecutor sign off on it, but it would probably be a dismissible.
You would believe it would be dismissible?
Dismissible, but could you charge a fee of $10?
Mm-hmm. This is a good question. We need to ask maybe Ryan out there next time we see him in the hall. Right, right.
Well, we had one that was really kind of comical because
you've had comical people in your court?
He came down, he had tinted windows. Well, he brought in two doctor's notes due to the history of skin cancer in his family.
Wow.
But this is what's so comical. He's a construction worker. He works out in the sun all day long.
But he needs to be protected in his car.
The reason he couldn't wear a seatbelt?
No, tinted windows. But he was allowed to have tinted windows.
He has a history of skin cancer in his family, so he needed the darker tint on his windows. So he brought two doctor's notes in stating about this family history. However, they did realize that he worked all day in the sun as a construction worker, so it kind of...
Well, actually, what we did is we talked to Ryan. Ryan said to go ahead and dismiss it in the interest of justice, but to let him know that he could get an
invitation. Yeah, especially going through your city. Y'all are going to be watching for him, huh?
We watch for him.
Yeah. TMCC compliance dismissal chart lists many common equipment violations. Chapter 548, compulsory inspection of vehicles. Section 548.602, failure to display inspection certificate, violation after the fifth day after the date of expiration. Y'all did know there's that 5-day grace period. Sorry, not... Section 548.605, subsection B, allows for dismissal if expired less than 60 days with a $20 administrative fee if corrected within 20 working days after offense or first court appearance, whichever is first. That one of those charts that's so nice to have handy. No fee allowed if inspection has been expired more than 60 days. Isn't that crazy? Chapter 550, traffic accidents and accident reports. Only a few violations in this chapter. Section 550.024, duty on striking unattended vehicle. This is only a Class C if damage is less than $200. That's why we don't even... Who can get their car fixed for $200 nowadays? Yeah. Section 550.025, duty on striking fixture or highway landscaping, Class C if damage is less than $200. We had a 18-wheeler come down the road he wasn't supposed to begin with, and he tried to turn around, and he ran over one of our water, what do you call them? Yes, thank you. Water was going everywhere. He got stuck on top of it. Do you think that was $200 damage by the time he got off of that? Yeah, the water could have filled a couple of swimming pools with that. Chapter 551, operation of bicycles, mopeds, and play vehicles. It says that bicycle riders must obey all traffic laws applicable to a vehicle operator. Contains provisions about how the bicycle should be ridden, safety equipment that should be on the bicycle. Do y'all have this happen a lot in your cities? You've got people on their bikes? DWIs on their bikes? Do you only have stop signs in your city too? Yeah.
And I do have one that's, they'll pick him up for PI every time if he's drunk on his bicycle.
We had one where the police officer pulled the bicycle guy over, and it was still a little light, but it was getting dark outside, and he ticketed him for not having a headlight on his bicycle.
What?
Maybe I shouldn't have told y'all where I used to work. He was weaving on the road or the shoulder. No front light. Bicycle rules also apply to mopeds, play vehicles, motor-assisted scooters, and electric personal mobility devices. Provisions of Title VII, Transportation Code relating to motor vehicles, do not apply to motor-assisted scooters. Chapter 552, Pedestrians. Restrictions about when and where pedestrians may walk. 552.006, Use of Sidewalk. 552.001, pedestrian right-of-way if control signal is present. The 552.005 pertains to jaywalking. Chapter 553, enactment and enforcement of certain traffic laws in certain municipalities. Authority of cities to erect traffic signs. And it applies to municipality with a population less than 2,500 and a county of 250,000 or more. Then, Chapter 600 is your miscellaneous provisions. The other time. Section 600.001. Removing material from highway says if you drop it, pick it up. So that couch that fell out of the back of your truck, you... Well, it's not, I don't even know if they know they got so many wheels. I don't, you know. That is. They know. They can feel it. I would think... Yeah. Oh, that's terrible. I think it's funny when the couch falls out and they just keep going because, oh, it's broke now. Let's just leave it in the road. Section 600.004 allows school crossing guards to direct traffic if they complete certain training requirements. Oh, wow. We're all done. You know, you're yawning though, and it's not even lunch.
We need more coffee.
More coffee.
I got here. More coffee.
coffee. Did you find the local honky tonk last night or something? No? No? When you saw me? Oh, don't tell on me. Anybody have any questions or ideas or... You want to share your joke or
no?
No.
No?
Okay. Oh, I watched it go. Well, I appreciate y'all listening to me, putting up with me. I actually learned a lot too. Melissa's the guru on this. Nobody got hit with a ball today. But thank you, and y'all are all done. What time is it? Oh, I'm supposed to go another 15 minutes? Ooh. I'm Lisa. Lisa Mayo. Let me go see if I can let y'all out a little early. Since I Hey, do you remember the question we said, let's ask Ryan? Was it about the lights under the car?
Yeah. The blue lights?
Yes.
Not illegal. Not yet.
Oh, it's not illegal.
It's not illegal, and a city does not, in my opinion, have the authority to make it illegal by ordinance. Those equipment on a motor vehicle is regulated by the federal government, and they say what you cannot have. And then the only thing the states can do pursuant to that is uniformly enforce federal regulations on equipment. So the blue lights, in fact, if you will go back to the September 1999 issue of the Recorder, you'll be able to read an article about blue lights. And the only reason I know the answer to this question is because when I applied to go to work for the center, that was the issue of the Recorder that was out. And I honestly said, what in the heck are they talking about? Blue lights underneath the car. I didn't even know what that meant. And so it's still not. The other thing that's not illegal yet are, have you all seen those high-intensity, like, xenon headlamps that some people are putting? The ones are like, they, like, burn your eyes out. Those are also not illegal yet.
Wow. We just assumed that it was illegal on the blue lights. Yeah. And we were discussing if it would be a dismissible. So it would be a dismissible ordinance.
It wouldn't even be
a ticket.
It's not a crime.
It's not a crime.
So your judge would just say dismissed for the no offense. Kathy, I don't think the law has changed. If there is a criminal offense, I should know about it because that should have been in one of our legislative updates. It's not there yet.
What about fitting into that generic dangerous equipment if the blue lights were so
bright
that they were dangerous?
She asked about dangerous equipment. I don't know the offense. I've never heard of the offense called dangerous equipment. So if there is one, I'm unaware of dangerous equipment. I mean, equipment's either equipment that's authorized or unauthorized equipment. The one that does get you in trouble that is a real offense is when people try to put these blue or yellow or off-colored tail lamp lens covers on the back of their car. Make the car look cool because they don't want to have a light that when you brake it breaks red. They want it to break purple. Have y'all seen that before?
Yes.
That's absolutely illegal. Yeah.
Well, I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thank you, Kathy.
I didn't know the answer to that.
Has everyone signed the?
Okay. This is not your attendance roster. We have a grant funded by TxDOT, and so we get reimbursed or they pay us per head, so that's why we pass around this for certain classes.
And it sounds like y'all have mastered rules of the road already, so we'll have a little longer break than usual. I'll give you opportunity to get up to your rooms and pack your suitcases. We'll be back here at 9:30.
Thanks, everyone.